This is episode 17 of Dear Analyst, and today I'm going to be talking about a big announcement from Microsoft Excel, probably the biggest one I've seen in a while. It is the introduction of the XLOOKUP function in Excel. And I was originally going to talk about a completely different topic today. I was actually going to do a review of this book I've been reading called Range by David Epstein. But this news came out, let's see, this past Wednesday. So if you're listening to this, this was August 28th, 2019. And after reading this announcement, I just thought this news is too big to avoid. Gotta talk about it on Dear Analyst. So that's why this episode is all going to be about this one little function, or one big function, it sounds like it's going to be, called XLOOKUP. So what is XLOOKUP? It's basically going to replace VLOOKUP and HLOOKUP. And if you are in Excel at all, you probably have come across VLOOKUP at some point or the other. It's kind of like a very iconic function in Excel. And the fact that they're redesigning it to be a little more user-friendly, a little more, extensible is pretty awesome. And I'll link to the blog post of this announcement in the show notes. And I'll read a few sentences here about the history of VLOOKUP just to show you how important this function is for Excel. VLOOKUP has been with Excel from the very beginning. It was included in Excel 1 for Macintosh, released in 1985. This is coming straight from their blog post. For 34 years, VLOOKUP has been the first lookup function learned by Excel users and our third most used function after sum and average. It's pretty crazy that it's the third most used function actually after sum and average, which are obviously very widely used as well. And the last sentence I think is kind of fun for people learning Excel. In fact, it's so fundamental to spreadsheeting, I like how that's become like an adverb or verb, that most users can recall the sense of achievement they felt when they first mastered VLOOKUP, myself included. The author of this is Joe McDade from Microsoft. And I'll just quickly walk through what XLOOKUP does. And if you look inside the show notes, I'll show you a GIF as well. Essentially, the XLOOKUP formula needs to have three required inputs. The lookup value, which is what you're looking for. The lookup array, which is just the list where you're going to find this lookup value. And then the return array is the list that you want to return the value from. So typically, with VLOOKUP, you normally have to reference the entire range. So for instance, let's say you have, and actually in this example in the GIF, let's say you have country in column A, and then you have capital in column C, and then population in column D. So ABC, country, capital, population. With a traditional VLOOKUP, let's say you want to find the population of a certain country in column A, you would do VLOOKUP and then reference the cell that contains your country. Let's call it the United States. And then you would select all of columns A, B, and C, or you might do a specific range A1 to C50 or something like that. Then you would do comma 3 because you want to return the third column from that range of data. In this case, the population column. And then comma 0 or false because you want to find the exact match. So pretty simple use of VLOOKUP, but with XLOOKUP, all you would provide is the same country, the cell reference, let's say in this case United States. The lookup array would just be column A, and then the return array would be column C. So you don't have to select the entire range of data from A1 to C50. You would just do A1 to A50 for the lookup array, and then C1 to C50 for the return array. And that's for a traditional VLOOKUP. You could also do the same thing for an HLOOKUP. And I think that's why they call it an XLOOKUP, because it can do both the vertical and the horizontal lookup. And I honestly I don't think I've ever used HLOOKUP once in my Excel files or Google Sheets, but I think this makes it even easier for a person to understand, a new user to look up something, whether it's vertical or horizontal, and you don't have to think about, oh, do I use VLOOKUP or HLOOKUP, even though I think most people would just end up using VLOOKUP. And I think it's interesting, is when I think about VLOOKUP, I already thought like this was a pretty robust formula, robust function in Excel. Like it's definitely one of the most used functions I use, and it's a workhorse in terms of finding the data you need. And I never thought that it could be improved on. I always thought that it worked out of the box. It was perfectly usable for smallish data sets. For bigger data sets, you would use the whole index match functions. And there's a whole nother episode about that. But essentially, I never thought VLOOKUP could be improved until I saw the way that they designed XLOOKUP. And it made me realize that even when you think something is perfectly designed and the feature already works well for you, which does for most people, a new version is always, there can always be improvements on the old model or the old way of doing things. And it's surprising that VLOOKUP hasn't been updated since 1985, when it first arrived on the scene with Excel number one. And really awesome to see Microsoft innovating on this formula. The unfortunate part is obviously this is only released to Office 365 subscribers. You have to be an Office 365, part of the Office 365 Insiders program in order to participate with using this function. Now, there are some other optional inputs for the XLOOKUP function. Just like how when you do VLOOKUP, the last input is the match mode. You can always, most times I'm just putting zero or false because you want to do an exact match. So that match mode is also available in XLOOKUP. But the important thing to note here is that by default, XLOOKUP uses a match mode of zero. So that's an exact match. You don't have to, like when you're doing VLOOKUP, you always have to put that zero or false at the very end for the fourth parameter. XLOOKUP by default is an exact match. And then there's also a search mode parameter, which I'm not too familiar on how to use, but the search mode lets you configure the type and direction of search. You can use a 1 or negative 1 to search from first to last or last to first. Use 2 or negative 2 to do a binary search on sorted data. This is included for expert users only. I think this has to do more with sorted lists, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a second. But there are some optional parameters. The main thing is that I really like how they eliminated the need to put the match mode, because by default, most people are just doing an exact match anyways. What else is here? So another thing they announced in this blog post is the addition of XMatch. And it not only returns lookup XMatch returns the index of the matching item. And it looks like it's addition XLOOKUP. So here's the description of what the feature says. In addition to XLOOKUP, we are also launching XMatch, which has a similar signature to XLOOKUP, but returns the index of the matching item. XMatch is both easier to use and more capable than its predecessor, Match. You have a lookup value, lookup array, and then match mode. I'm not really sure how XMatch is better than Match. Perhaps it's also the fact that you don't have to provide the match mode. Let's take a look here. I'm looking at their help desk article. Following example. Well, you know, the main announcement here is for XLookup, so I'm not going to dig too much into XMatch, but I'm sure there is some slight improvement for Match as well here. And what is the community saying? I mean, the blog post has like a ton of great comments, and one of my favorite descriptions of the XLookup, new feature XLookup, is none other than Mr. Excel, Bill Jelen. We'll also link to his blog post in the show notes. I like how he calls his blog post the VLookup Slayer. XLookup debuts Excel. And he kind of goes through a tutorial of how to use XLookup. And one of the things that he talks about, and this goes back to the sort of list thing that I was mentioning, is it can find the last match. And that is, I think, the fourth, let's see, one, two, no, that's the fifth parameter that you would put in the search mode. Let me just make sure I'm not mistaken here. Yes. So the search mode, if you put a negative one, it would search from last to first. And you are looking for an exact match, but you want to search from the bottom of the list instead of the top of the list. And this is kind of an interesting feature because imagine you have a table of countries. You have country, you have capital, then you have population. For whatever reason, let's say you also had date in there too, so you maybe have like population by date. And so there might be duplicate values of country in column A. And sometimes if you do the VLookup, it will just return, I believe, the first instance it finds of that country. So if United States showed up twice in column A, it would just return the lookup from the first time that United States is mentioned. But by putting in this search parameter of negative one, you're able to search from the bottom of the list. So you would actually pull in the second time that United States is mentioned in the column A. And I have mixed feelings about this functionality. Yes, it's great because I think in most businesses, if you are getting an Excel file where it is kind of a list of data by dates, and every week or every day you're getting new data added to that bottom of that list, sometimes you just want to get the latest value from a customer, from a state, from whatever it is, because it's probably sorted by date. And VLookup by itself wouldn't do the trick because it would just find the first instant of it, which of that value, which may be from a few weeks ago or whatever time period. So being able to put that negative one means you search from the bottom of the lookup array, and then you can pull the latest value. And so this is great because if you have any kind of time series data, you can quickly get the last value. But I would argue that, I mean, the reason why I like using VLookup is because I know for a fact that my data set that I'm looking up in has a unique index that I'm looking up on, if that makes sense. Excuse me. So what I mean by that is if you have a list where there's duplicate data in the first column you're looking up, I would argue that you should probably create a pivot table or somehow find a way to reduce that data set down so that you can only have a unique value that you're searching for in that list. And I think the alternative here is, let's say you have, I mean, there are many different ways to make VLookup work in this situation. The ways I've done in the past is if you have country and then you have date, well, you could create a third column that's a unique key that combines the country and the date together. And then what happens is you search for the combination of country and date instead of just the country by itself, so that you can return the latest date, latest values for that country and date. Now, the problem is that requires a little more Excel work. You have to like put another column. You also have to give the user an ability to select a date that they want to pull back data from. The XLOOKUP kind of reduces that need to have that concatenated column of country plus date, which makes it more usable for new users to Excel. But again, I have mixed feelings about this because while it does make it more user-friendly, it prevents that user from really understanding how the data is structured, modeled, and ultimately where it comes from. And most likely it comes from a relational database. I think if you want people to understand the kind of database features of unique keys, primary keys, I actually kind of prefer using the old VLOOKUP method because it encourages you to think about what is actually unique about my data set. And maybe I have to slice and dice my data a little differently to get that unique data back. I think having this XLOOKUP search mode function just encourages people to have like a long list of data that they don't care about whether the lookup column is unique or not. And they just, and that list of data can probably get really, really long. And there's no sense of wanting to optimize it to make it more compact and ultimately to learn and understand where that data is coming from. So, you know, I can see the argument for both ways for wanting to use this formula from a user friendly perspective, and also from just a user education perspective. So yeah, interesting feature to add to the XLOOKUP function nonetheless. Another feature that the XLOOKUP function opens up is the ability to look to the left. Now, this is already something you can do with index match, but the great thing is now you don't have to worry about knowing when to choose VLOOKUP versus index match. So that's a really nice little feature because you don't have to select a range of continuous data. And I think the one thing that since you don't have to select the entire range of data as you would in VLOOKUP, there are some speed improvements which Bill also references in his blog post. And I didn't realize this, but in 2018, apparently, according to Bill, the VLOOKUP algorithm did change to have better, to just be more performant. And it seems like the XLOOKUP function also maintains the same speed improvements. But to me, just not having to be able to select an entire range of data that has a bunch of random columns you don't need, like that to me is already a huge win. I think would make XLOOKUP more performant and closer to the performance benefits of using index match. Another big feature, I know there's just like so many things I'm thinking about now, like in terms of like all the features that this can build for a new user, is that in the VLOOKUP world, when you put the column number, so in our original example, I said country, capital, and population, you would do VLOOKUP your cell reference, then the range of A1 to C50, and then you put the number 3 to return the third column, in this case population. But with XLOOKUP, since there's no notion of the column number, it prevents, if you are inserting new columns of data into your table, the list array, or sorry, the return array, you don't have to define the column number for that. That still stays fixed. So I think this also is really great for new users because sometimes when you insert new columns, your VLOOKUP formula will break if you have hard-coded numbers in the VLOOKUP formula. But with this XLOOKUP formula function, you don't have to worry about that column number at all ever again because you've created a reference for the return array. This also leads to, I guess I would have to play around with this formula a little bit more to understand what are the limitations of deleting and inserting columns. I wonder if there's any notion of putting absolute versus relative references. I'm going to take a look at Bill's blog post really quick to see. No, so breaks is one, it's your column. Yeah, so I don't think it really matters if you put in absolute or relative references. I think when you insert a new column in the table, the results array, the return array should still stay on the column that you look at. Oh no, I think you would have to do. I wonder, yeah, I'm not sure. I guess I would have to play with it. Well, I can't play with it because I'm not a 06365 Insiders program subscriber. I'm wondering if the return array has to be absolute or relative in order for it to dynamically change when new columns are added to the table. I'm not sure, but I'm sure according to Bill, it looks like you have to make it an absolute reference, but maybe he didn't test it with relative references as well. And again, the old VLOOKUP method, I would rarely type in the hard-coded number for the column to return. That would also always be a variable. The workaround here is normally above the column header, you would put like the column number. And so you would reference that cell that contains the column number you want to pull back instead of hard-coding the number inside the VLOOKUP formula. But that lookup, all that also is susceptible to different problems. And so overall, I think this improves the usability of lookup formula. I mean, you have the same kind of benefit of this when you use index match of being able to insert new columns into the table, but XLOOKUP kind of basically XLOOKUP is a combination of VLOOKUP plus index match, which includes the benefits of both of those methods for looking up data. So really great kind of all-in-one lookup formula, if you will. So I think the last thing I want to talk about regarding the XLOOKUP function, I know I could probably go on for a lot longer, and I think I'll have even more comments about this once I get to play around with it. Oh no, two more things, sorry. So the second to last thing I want to mention is number one, why is it only released for Office 365 Insiders program members? Well, three reasons, in my opinion. Number one, all their new features get released to the Insiders program first before it gets widely adopted by, like, O365 subscribers, and then to maybe his maybe somehow you can like download new versions of Excel. Oh yeah, just like for me, when I download a new version of Excel, it includes new updates, and the next update will probably include this feature at some point down the line. So number one is they always do this for releasing new features, which makes sense. And it also allows them to get feedback from early insiders before they release the feature more widely. And number two, the reason why I think they only release it to insiders program people is because this is a pretty big change to how lookup works. So if you are a heavy Excel user and you have a bunch of VLOOKUPs in your Excel file, I'm not saying that your VLOOKUPs will all of a sudden break, but you probably have a file maybe that the VLOOKUP is not very performant, and you want to use the XLOOKUP function. You would have to kind of reformat and build your formulas completely differently with the XLOOKUP function. So I think you want to have as much advance notice about the feature before you actually bake it into your Excel file. And number three, I think, is the bigger reason why this really applies to any new product features that get launched in Excel or otherwise, is for new users to the platform, in this case, let's say to Excel, do you teach them VLOOKUP first, or do you teach them XLOOKUP, which is the new kid on the block? I would argue that you would want them to pick up XLOOKUP so that they take advantage of the new benefits and speed improvements of XLOOKUP. But for those of us who are used to using VLOOKUP, I think that's where you might get the most pushback. I always know that old habits die hard. I have a bunch of old habits. I still use like keyboard shortcuts from Excel 2003, and more recently, in the last year or so, especially after joining my current company, I'm more open to trying new technologies and changing things up when I haven't, when I'm changing the things I've been doing, just because I believe in trying new technologies to kind of alter the status quo. And I wonder how much pushback you'll get from diehard VLOOKUP users who are like, no, like HLOOKUP, I'm never going to use XLOOKUP. Like VLOOKUP is like the best way to do things. And that may be a function of one, the way they've built their Excel files, or maybe the way they've built files for their clients has always used VLOOKUP. So they don't want to change this new one because it requires a lot more work and et cetera, et cetera. And number two is they know the ins and outs of how their VLOOKUP formulas work. And with XLOOKUP, now you have to think about new ways to structure your data, sort your data, organize your data. And the search mode parameter is one, I think, one way that this XLOOKUP function really forces you to think about how you structure your data. Again, to me, I think it just makes you, it makes users not think about just having, it makes users willing to accept having messy data because they know they can search from the bottom, is basically what I think the search mode kind of enforces. Whether or not that actually happens, I don't know, but I think that it's almost like it makes it easy for the lazy person to not want to sort, slice and dice their data before they actually do the lookup. Just my opinion there. So anyways, yeah, there is some push. I think because they starting with the O365 Insiders program, it's a good idea because there are probably a lot of people that are still tied down to the old VLOOKUP function, and they may never change because they're so used to using this function that's been around in Excel for 35 years. Okay, we're getting close to the 30-minute mark. I still have to talk about the other podcasts that have caught my attention. But the last thing I want to mention about this feature is a comment from someone in the community, this gentleman, Peter Bartholomew. He's a super contributor to the Microsoft Excel tech community, and his comment on the blog post I thought was really interesting. He goes on to say in this comment, "For me, traditional Excel appears plagued by quote-unquote cheap and cheerful techniques that provide partial solutions but are constructed so as not to place demands upon the end user. All the new dynamic array functions seem to have brought with them a noticeable greater degree of rigor. More thought appears to have gone into the planning, so all the use cases that one might reasonably expect seem to be catered for." I thought this comment was really interesting and also speaks to the evolution of Excel. His first comment, "Traditional Excel appears to be cheap and cheerful techniques that provide partial solutions but are not constructed so as not to place demands." I think what I like about what he says is it really shows the thinking that Excel has taken to essentially make the functions more user-friendly. Going back to some of the hacks you have to do for VLOOKUP, I don't know if you consider this a hack, but if you want to look up a unique identifier of country and date, you have to create this hack of a new column that concatenates the country plus the date, and then you can start searching for your data. Is that a hack, a cheap and cheerful technique that you need to do to make VLOOKUP work? I don't know. I think it works just fine, but XLOOKUP really just kind of puts the user first and says, don't worry about having to concatenate formulas. You can just search from the bottom and everything will work out just as you expect it to work out. I do think that his mention about dynamic array functions does make things a lot easier for the user, but also makes it, again, there are some trade-offs. Now you start to think about, well, does the user actually understand how their data is laid out and constructed and extracted from a database? So for instance, with some of these new dynamic array functions, some of the ones that have come out include, let's see here, the unique function. So you know how if you want to find all the unique values in a list of data, I don't even know how, I mean, sure there's a formula out there. I typically, I mean, this is probably not the best way to do it. I just throw that whole data set into a pivot table, and I just put that column into the pivot table to find the unique list of values. But with the unique function in Excel, you have this notion of a spill range. And so when you enter that, when you do unique left parentheses and you put in the range of data, what spits out is not one single cell, because that would make sense because you're trying to find all the unique values. You actually get a range of values, and that range is called the spill range, in which case you would find all the unique countries or, you know, stores or whatever that are coming from a bigger list somewhere else. Same thing applies to the sort function. You can write sort in one cell and then reference a bunch of other cells in that sort function, but then the return result is actually a range of data that is sorted by alphabetical order. And so this makes it easy for the user to be able to find unique values, to sort unique values, and basically eliminates the need to use Control Shift Enter array entered formulas, which is, in my opinion, a really hacky way to get the results you need. For instance, when you use the frequency formula today, you have to use Control Shift Enter, select all the cells that you want to enter that uniqueness or the frequency formula for into a bunch of cells, and then you can get that frequency formula to work. So having to use Control Shift Enter is kind of really stupid, in my opinion. So having these dynamic array functions with the spill range is the right way to go. But does it make sense from a formula perspective anymore? Because now you are entering the formula in one cell, and then it outputs a bunch of cells below that. I'm not sure. I think it's a little strange, but maybe that's just, again, me coming from an old Excel mentality of where there's no such thing as spill ranges, and array-entered formulas are kind of like a unique citizen in the Excel universe. Not sure. But really thought that Peter nailed the comment on the head with that, putting the end user in mind for these new functions such as XLOOKUP. All right, that ends my little discussion about the XLOOKUP function. As you can tell, based on how long I've been speaking about this, pretty excited about this coming to Excel at some future version that I may use. But for now, still going to be using my good old friend, the VLOOKUP function. Okay, so two episodes that I came across recently from other podcasts that I really enjoyed. We'll mention these briefly because we are approaching past 30 minutes now, is the Changelog episode 352 with Andy Hunt and Dave Thomas. And around minute 26, 27, Dave Thomas and Andy Hunt, by the way, are the authors of The Pragmatic Programmer. A classic book about, as you can imagine, programming. And it came out, I think, originally in 1999. And in this episode, they talk about some of the things they have to update in the book because of, obviously, new platforms, new frameworks, new technologies. And I think they go on to say that 30% of the book was kept in terms of like the technologies. I think that's what they said. And the other 70%, they either had to replace or update with new terms because people aren't necessarily programming in basic anymore. So even though they had to change the technologies in the book, they go on to mention that the one thing they haven't changed at all were issues and, well, not issues, but topics relating to people and communication. And I thought that was really interesting because even though technologies can change, the way people work on projects, the way you work with people in projects, the way you interact with people, the way you handle their feedback, the way you get their criticisms, that hasn't changed at all. And I thought that was really interesting because even with communication platforms we have like Slack, you still have to deal with people's emotions. You still have to empathize with them. And no matter what happens in the technology realm, there's still this notion that you have to work with people. And I love how they go on. I love how they talk about that. The people and communication facts and topics in the book haven't changed at all since 1989. And I think that's a key takeaway for me in that don't think that technology can simplify the need to be able to understand people and kind of be social. Our brains, our way of dealing with other people hasn't changed much since we, evolved as humans back in the hundreds of years ago. And people are still going to be messy. People are not robots. And I remember that was kind of an article that Clive Thompson wrote about in his book, Coders, in that programmers typically like to work with code because it's very predictable. And then people, programmers, don't like to work with because they're unpredictable and they're emotional and they're irrational and you never know what's going to happen. And I think that unpredictability is always going to be there with working with people on teams and projects, which I think makes working at a company, makes working with a team fun. So great mention in this episode about how people and communication topics and problems will always be around no matter how far we move forward with technology. The second episode I wanted to call out is episode 954 of This Week in Startups with Jason Calacanis. This episode featured Gentry Underwood, the co-founder and CEO of Navigator. And around minute 47, they kind of started talking about how Gentry went on to build the Navigator product. And he talks about how there has been SaaS burnout. And Jason mentions a stat about how the net new apps that people are installing on their iPhone is less than one, which I thought was really surprising, but it just shows that the number of apps has exploded, the number of SaaS platforms has exploded, and people are just experiencing burnout. And I find that true about myself as well. There's so many new platforms to explore, new apps to try out, and you're always fearful of adding a new app to your phone. But I feel like I've been experiencing this since like iPhone 3, when there were a lot of apps, and I still wondered, what is the best app to use for trip planning? What's the best app to use for finding restaurants? And I still find myself using just good old restaurant apps like Yelp and Google Maps. And I wonder if, as the more apps come onto the market, are people still open to experimenting, or have we really reached this apex where there's this complete burnout and we don't want to try out any new apps? We don't want to try out any new SaaS platforms. I just want to stick with my trusty Google Doc. I just want to stick with my trusty Slack. I don't care about the problems that Slack has because I'm so used to the platform. And there's this notion of like having continuity, especially from a workplace scenario. You don't want to constantly be switching to new SaaS apps because there's some new feature that makes your current SaaS app irrelevant. So there is a notion of having continuity and also people having expertise in the application. But I think overall, and this is again my philosophy and vision for what I'm working on, is this necessitates the need for, or the requirement rather, for people to be able to edit and build their own applications in the workplace or for themselves. Last episode, I forgot exactly which podcast I mentioned, but they were talking about what if you, as an individual iPhone user, you're not a programmer, you could just talk to your phone and say, hey, when there's snow on the ground, send me an alert. And some other apps can do this already, but you could just speak that command to your phone and your phone would know how to go into the weather.com app, find out if there's snow, and then notify you through the default notification service on the iPhone. So I think there will be a future where it's not going to be a fact that, oh, there's another new SaaS platform to try, another new app to try to download to my phone. It's going to be, what can I build for myself or for my team that I can also edit and change and update for the future that wouldn't require me to check out someone's new app or check out some company's new SaaS application. I myself am empowered to build my own applications without needing to know how to code. So that's just my take on the whole SaaS application app burnout kind of notion. But we'll see where things go. And it's going to be an exciting next few years to see how people adopt new applications and SaaS platforms for their companies. That is the end of this episode. I know it went on quite a long time. Next week will hopefully be a change of pace where I'll talk a little bit less about Excel, maybe a little bit about Excel, but relate it back to other more broad topics about learning and skill development. And yeah, thanks for listening.